For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Okay, welcome everyone. This week is Haftoros Bamidbar, page 1180. This one is from Hosea. This Haftorah is somewhat typical in that the purpose of the prophets was to give us rebuke, was to, people were doing wrong things, and Hashem came to us and delivered a message that would bring us back. That was the purpose of the Haftorah. And almost all Haftorahs are a mix of rebuke and love. You don't bother rebuking somebody if you don't care about them. If you don't care what they do, you don't care if they hurt themselves, you don't care if they go and they ruin their lives, you don't have to say anything. You just let them do their thing. But Hashem cares about us and He loves us. And so therefore, He has to rebuke us. And at times, Haftorahs used very strong language. Sometimes that's the only way to get through, is to use very strong language. Fact here, before I start, because it's a very strong Haftorah, I'm going to skip to the very last verse, which is a verse that men actually say this every day. But you don't know that men have an engagement ring. They tie a ring around their finger 3 times when they put their tefillin on in the morning. And they say this verse, verse 21, that we're engaged to God, that we're all married to God. That's our real partner in life is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is Hashem. And so we say, Va'arostikli, you are my fiancé forever. And what is it based on? Tzedek u'mishpat v'chesed u'rachamim. And it's really a beautiful thought. Like, tzedek and mishpat is like righteousness and law, but then sometimes we don't live up to what we don't deserve it. Well, that's okay, because Hashem is full of chesed, of kindness, and rachamim, and mercy. And then on verse 22, this last week we really tried to talk about the emunah part. And we have faith in Hashem. We have faith in His loving kindness. V'rostikli be'emunah v'yadata es Hashem. And so the end message is beautiful. It's, again, there's that word. I heard a question, why does it use the word? In English, they don't really convey that. V'rostik doesn't mean marriage. It means engaged. And when a person, it's like a honeymoon. In the beginning, when a person is on a honeymoon, sometimes real life is a little bit more. You got to take the garbage out, and you got to do all the chores, and it's not as it's not as much of a honeymoon as the beginning. And so Hashem says that this relationship of bride and groom, rustically, the erison, which means the initial engagement, that's meant to last forever. Hashem has this intense love. But bride and groom are very flowery and poetic, and they give each other gifts, and they're very romantic. And so that's the relationship that Hashem says is always there. With that said, when we do the wrong things, we got to fix up our act, and that's what we're going to begin over here. So then the question is, why does this happen in Bamidbar? So the truth is, we became a nation in the desert, so to speak. Desert isn't a great word, because we like to think of a desert as like a place full of sand. This is more of a wilderness. That's a better word. I would say Bamidbar is the wilderness, like an open place, probably like a wilderness kind of thing. So why did our relationship, in some ways, we started, Bamidbar brings us back to when we started, and it's the history of the Jewish people receiving the Torah, building the tabernacle, some of the complaints and the challenges we had in the desert. And so therefore this Haftorah kind of brings us back to that initial time. Hashem expresses in a few places that the Jewish people was willing to follow Hashem into the desert. We were willing to, when we received the Torah, we didn't really know that much about it. We didn't know what was in it. We didn't know what the future held, but it didn't matter. Our love for Hashem was such that we were on board. We would follow Hashem into the desert, into the wilderness, into a place that didn't have much. It didn't matter because we trusted Hashem. And so that, to some extent, we want to always come back to that. We need to come back to our closeness where we rely on Hashem and we'll follow Him. Today, like, if we don't have everything, we're not, with some people, if they don't have all their comforts and everything they need and everything is perfect and they know that they won't go forward, but that faith of following Hashem, that's what we want to do. Let's begin. In the Parsha, it counts the Jewish people. And it counts them in a number of places. And Rashi explains, you count things that are important to you. You count things that you love. You don't bother counting something that doesn't really matter. Each person matters to Hashem, and each person counts. And not only does each person count, some people don't count more than others. Sometimes people act like they own the world, or they don't, or that they count more than others. And Hashem's rules, each person counts. Each one is special. Each one is unique. One of the reasons we don't count, we're not supposed to go one, two, three, is that we're not supposed to look at people as just numbers. We believe that the whole world really could depend on one or two people, even one person. The whole world was created for one person. So we have no, and it might be you, it might be me, we don't know. You know, we never know what Hashem is waiting for. So one of us might make a good decision, you know. We might decide, I don't feel like coming to class today, I got so many things to do, it's so hot out, and I decide to go. So Hashem says, wow, I'm going to give the world blessing because look what you did. Or somebody's going to say something that you feel like you're going to, you should say something, they were nasty to you, you want to say back, and you say, Hashem wouldn't want me to do that. You know what? That might be the last brick before the Mashiach comes. Like we believe that each person counts, and their struggles, we have no way of valuing them. We feel that the individuals can make all the difference. And Hashem says that the Jewish people, as many people like that, but we're like the sand of the sea, you can't count them, and that's significant. Now, there's an interesting story here with Hosea. The Haftorah starts in this is chapter 2, but you don't remember what happened in chapter 1. So, Hashem complained to the prophet that the Jewish people was starting to worship idols. And again, we don't have the idols today, but some of that was imitating the Gentiles. We have a lot of people like to do that. In other words, if they think that in the Gentile world, this is like amazing, this is special, then people want to do it because that's what all the Gentiles are doing, right? Some of it, people like no rules. They like to be able to do everything is okay. They like to be able, they don't, you know, all the, you know, the in that when the idols, you could do all the sins over there. You could, they had orgies and they had drinking and drugs and they had immoral behavior and they had murder. They used to do human sacrifice too. And so somebody could do every sin in the book when he did the idols, and then he was told it was holy, it was love, it was fine. And so some Jewish people were attracted to that. The party scene was attractive. Certain young people, they attracted to the party scene. So there were Jews that were attracted to the idols. And some of them, because Hashem had done so much for us, that we were a slave nation. In those days, if you were enslaved, you never got out. You know, you were looked at as like a lower class. And even if you were freed, you were still a slave, a low nation. Hashem took us out. Hashem gave us a beautiful land. Hashem gave us peace with our enemies. He gave us everything. And you would have thought that when we had everything, that we would have been the most thankful and not rebel against Hashem. But sometimes human nature is when you have it too good, that's the time you got to be very careful. If everything is good, be very careful. You know, thank Hashem every day that everything is good. Because when people have everything good, they tend to rebel. There's a pasuk, Yishman Yeshurun Yaved, and Yeshurun, the Jewish people, when they get fat, meaning when they have everything good, they kick. That's just, what do I need God for? Everything's great. But when you need something, you behave because, you know, I have to tell you, I feel guilty the whole week. They told us that it was going to rain, the weather from the beginning. I have an app on my cell phone that told me it was going to rain on Sunday. So what do I care if it rains on Sunday? Because we sold a few hundred tickets to people for kosher day. And if it rained, they were all, every single one was going to call us up. How do I get my money back? When's the next kosher day? What are we going to do? And then the caterer prepared all the food. And then we'd have to eat. I don't know what we were going to do if we lost all that money. We'd have to try to do it again. And I really was saying, Hashem, you know, please. And still coming into Sunday morning, it was still going to rain. And then it stopped like right before the game. And Baruch Hashem, it didn't have and the sun came out. And so, you know,
you merited a good answer.
Well, if Hashem answers, it should be for better things. But I didn't. I wanted to focus on conscious.
You needed that one.
I wanted to worry about getting everybody their ticket money back, you know, or what to do, or explaining to them how to get tickets for a different game. It would have been a mess. But when you need something, you get close to Hashem because when you ask Him that. So unfortunately, Hashem gives us needs. Because that's one of the best ways for us to get close to Him. But if we don't have any, if we don't need anything, so why would we bother Him? And so the trick is, when things are good, to say, "I'm so thankful. I'm so appreciative. I want to connect with You." So He doesn't have to give us some needs to remind us what we need. So what happened was, though, that things were good with the Jewish people, and they were starting to rebel against Him. And Hashem complained to the prophet, who was the leader of the people. And he said, you know, these people, they keep worshiping idols. They keep on sliding back into idolatry. And idolatry is, it's always compared to adultery. It's interesting. It sounds the same. Basically, Hashem is our partner. And if we go worship other gods, we're not being loyal to Hashem. And it's even worse than that. In other words, if a person has the perfect spouse, and they're not, and that spouse goes out of their way to be good to them and care for them, and then they rebel and they cheat on that spouse, that's horrible. It's horrible even if the spouse didn't deserve it. But here they have a spouse who's so good, and so here we have a spouse, a partner who Hashem, who provides all our needs and gives us everything, and then we go and we do these, worship these strange gods and these strange religions. And so that's what Hashem said to Hosea. So he made a mistake, which a lot of people make. And so he said, you know what, Hashem, if, you know, maybe you should get a different people. Maybe we should try someone else. Mm. So that is a chutzpah. Like, you know, I'm not sure what he meant by that. Or if you don't like them, then let's get a different people. Or there are people that, you know, they decide they don't like our people. You know, they don't like they're Jews that are anti-Semites.
Yeah.
You know, it's a... Hashem commanded him, it's not clear if the command was a vision or it actually happened. Hashem commanded him to take a wife who had a bad reputation of being a woman who wasn't loyal to her spouse. And he took that wife, and or at least he had a vision that he took the wife, and then he had children with the wife. And then after he had several children, Hashem said to him, okay, time to, you know, this wife isn't loyal to you. You can't trust her. She, you know what, dump her. So Hosea turned to Hashem. He said, I can't dump her. I love her. She's the mother of my children. She's my wife. So Hashem said, well, why did you tell me to dump the Jewish people? I love the Jewish people. They're my children. I can't dump them. We don't, you know, a lot of people in life, they don't like something, so they dump it. We get, you know, certain relationships are for forever. We don't just dump them. So this is what Hashem came to him. His vision was that we have to some extent, Hashem was comparing his loyalty to the Jewish people to their loyalty to Hashem. But all of them, so Hashem said, instead of saying, Lo Ami, they're not my people, they're not acting like God's people, I'm tired of them, so Atem Yomer Lehem B'nei Kel Chai. No, tell them they are the children of the living God. It's always neat where we describe Hashem as a living God. In other words, the religion always has to be living, it has to be alive, it has to have vibrancy to it, it has to your relationship has to be growing. This first verse was kind of the end of that that discussion. Verse 2, Niksu b'nei Yehuda b'nei Yisrael yachtav. Here he seems to be describing the future. Sometimes people in the short term don't see how it's going to work, or they're frustrated. And so this prophet saw in the short term the Jewish people were sliding into idolatry, and Hashem was going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, kick them out of Eretz Israel, and scatter them amongst the nations. And the prophets knew that. That's what they were told to tell the people. So in people's minds, you should give up hope. We're finished. So Hashem gave them a vision of the future. So he says over here, this is the vision of the future. B'nekabsu b'nei Yisrael. There'll be a kibbutz. You know what a kibbutz is? A gathering. That's where the kibbutz was. The gathering, a gathering of the B'nai Yehuda, B'nai Yisrael. Now, at that time, there was a big civil war going on between the Jewish people, between the tribes of Yehuda and the tribes of the 10 tribes. So Hashem says, well, that's not going to last forever. In the future, they'll get back together. All the shuls will be back together, all the breakaways, right? V'nigav B'nai Yehuda, B'nai Yisrael, Yaktav. V'samu lehem rosh echad, and they'll have one leader. That'll be the Mashiach, by the way, the one leader. For olu min ha'aretz, and they'll come up from the land. Ki gadol yom Yisrael, and the that will be a great day. That'll be a great time. And that they'll be they'll grow. Yisrael means they'll be planted by Hashem. It'll be a day where they will be replanted in our land. Verse 3. So at that time, originally he had named his child, they are not my people, and Hashem won't have mercy. So Hashem was telling him that that was a temporary thing to bring us back to Hashem, and you should tell your brothers, Imu l'achechem ami, tell your brothers that you're all my people. That's ami. Today in Israel, they use that as a name. I know a few people, their name is Ami. It's a cute name. My people, Ami. Ulachoseim, and called their sister Ruchama. And there was a famous person who lived in America who decided to name his daughter Ruchama. That became popular now too. Ruchama is the girl's name. Tell your sister I will love you. I will have mercy on you. That's the word Ruchama. That's the same word as rechem, as womb. That person loves their children that come out of their womb. It's their own flesh and blood. Now, so Hashem says there'll be a day in the future where we'll have togetherness and we'll come back and we'll be replanted. But we still have a problem, and that is we have to remove our idolatry from our midst. So he tells us like this, Rivu be'imchem, go fight with your mother. That's a tough thing to say, fight with your mother. That's like bread and butter, but Rivu... The description here is kind of like a metaphor. The Jewish people is the spouse of Hashem, and the spouse that was not loyal. And individually, we have to push the Jewish people to become loyal to Hashem again. So, struggle with your people to get them loyal to Hashem again. And kihi lo ishti, because they're not acting like they're Hashem's wife. Vanochi lo isha, and I don't want to be their husband. If they don't want to be loyal to me, the tustes neha mepaneha, and they should remove the immoral behavior. They're straying. V'nufah mibein shadah, and the Jewish people again is it's interesting. Jews are very extreme. Like they're either extremely devoted to Hashem, or they can be extremely devoted to other things. And I see it more and more. You know, today a lot of people are. They're devoted to their thing. Like some people are devoted to their pets, and not just a little bit. It's like
family.
And it's I saw somebody. They wrote themselves a Mother's Day card from their pet. They had the pet's paws, you know, on the card and say, "I love you, mommy." And they were they considered themselves the mommy of their pets. That's, you know, and then there are people that are they're just very strong in whatever it is they do. And these are things that seem kind of silly sometimes. You know, some of the things that people are very strong, you know, there are people that are, it used to be that only we were like the observant, you know, like only we were the only extremists, you know, we're extreme about religion, about Judaism. But when you look around, there are people that are extreme about recycling. There are people that are extreme about the pets. There are people that are extreme about... and whatever it is they choose to be, their extreme politics, they are like religious. They are more religious than we are. They're fanatics. And it's just strange, you know. At least we're a fanatic for something real, you know. But you run into fanatics. It just, you can see it online because they like to brag about what they're fanatic about. And it's just, so Hashem, the Jewish people, was meant to be fanatical about Hashem. And unfortunately, we got fanatical about all kinds of other things. Years ago, Jews were fanatics for communism. I don't know if some people would. It's already like ancient history. But in Europe in that time, the political systems were very bad, and the dictatorships had been running for hundreds of years, and they were decrepit. And the wave of the future was communism, socialism. And all the Jews felt that, and they felt the concept of, you know... The kibbutz was one form of that, but it was that, you know, all the workers have to care for one another, and that it's, you know, you have the rich people, and people were really dedicated to this, and the Jews were at the forefront of that, the socialists they were in every and they weren't, they were fanatical about it. They were the ones who really, they were sent to Siberia. They, you know, people were afraid of the Tsar, not the Jews. They were the one that tried to assassinate the Tsar was a Jewish lady. I forgot what her name was. The G, I think, but not the Tsar Nikolai, his father Alexander was, but they're you know, just imagine that, because they so believed in what they were doing that this was. But Hashem says it's time to give up all those isms, and it doesn't mean that there are not points to it. It's important that people shouldn't take advantage of the workers, and that workers have to be treated right, and poor people have to be taken care of. Those are beautiful ideas, but communism was not that. And the pets have to be, you know, appreciated and taken care of, and the world has to be, you know, there are points to everything, but fanaticism... it only belongs, you know, if a person wants to be dedicated to Hashem. So Hashem says, it's time, talk to your mother. She's got to stop these worshipping of strange gods. Yep, there goes my cell phone. But I turned it off today. But. Okay, what does Hashem say? So the imagery is strong, but basically everything we have comes from Hashem. Even when we rebel against Hashem, he's giving to us. He gives us our health. He gives us our wealth. How do people have the money to be a fanatic, to do all these things? Hashem gives them the money, gives them the health, gives them the wealth. So Hashem says, you know what? I'll just take it all back. We don't believe that, like, for example, when there are pogroms or the Nazis, or that Hashem directed people to harm us, he just took away his protection. In other words, Hashem's threat is, okay, you don't want to have anything to do. You don't realize that Hashem is standing, protecting us. I read it was recently about the anniversary of the Six-Day War, that the Six-Day War was won in the first day when the Israeli Air Force knocked out the Egyptian Air Force. And it was a very risky type of thing, because if the Egyptians had been ready for it, they would have been able to knock down the planes and the... So there were three miracles that day that happened with the Egyptian Air Force. First of all, the Jordanians had an early warning system, and they had told the Egyptians that they noticed the Israeli planes take off, but they sent it on the wrong frequency. It didn't go through. The Egyptians didn't get, you know, in other words, today they just released the documents. Today they have, the, you know, 50 years ago, there's no longer war secrets, so they let them. So the Jordanian early warning system had seen the planes take off. They actually have a position where they overlook Israel, and so they had known these planes take. So they sent Egypt a message that they were coming. They didn't get it because they had changed the code or the pass or the frequency, and so the Egyptians didn't get it. The Egyptian field marshal had been flying to a meeting that morning, and usually when planes fly overhead, they shoot at them. So, and he knew the Egyptians were famous for not checking before they shot, and so he commanded nobody to shoot at any planes flying overhead. So even though these were Israeli planes, there was no anti-aircraft. And then the third thing was, the Egyptians were supposed to have, even though the main air force was down, they were supposed to have somebody up in the air to protect against assault. And they had had a party the night before, and they overslept. the early warning. And so if any of those three had happened, they wouldn't have had the surprise. And they still might have been somewhat successful. But it's never happened in history that you were able to really, one side could knock out the air force of the other side. In other words, there was no real reason. Their planes were just as good as our planes.
They were better. They were all right.
They had better planes. That's correct. And even if we had, you know, good pilots, there still should have been some, it would have been a battle, but it was a total knockout. Hashem is standing around, is protecting us every moment of the day. What we're afraid of is when Hashem withdraws his protection. And so that's what Hashem says, you know what, I'm going to take it all back. And if I take it back, you're going to be like, in Hebrew, naked means like you won't have anything. That's the expression here. And I'll leave you in the desert, just where you started, Meshatek Eretzia, and you'll be unprotected. You'll be in the desert, or the wilderness is very unprotected and very, the sun and the shade, and you thirst. Verse 6 says, V'neha lo rachim, and I won't, how could Hashem do that? Won't he take pity on the Jewish people? But ki b'nei znunim heim. These are children of immoral children. Ki zansa ima, because their mother hasn't been loyal. Hobisho rasam. Ki oma, what does the mother say? She's interested in her lovers. Achim moavai, nosni lachmi, umeimai, simri. The imagery is of a woman who, they call it a paramour or whatever, has boyfriends, and they give her things, and they give her food and drink and wool and all kinds of good things. And really what they're giving her is what Hashem, some people, they follow a certain lifestyle because they think it enriches them. Verse 8, so the first thing Hashem will do is that he will make it that we won't want to go after those immoral lifestyles. He will put stumbling blocks in our ways. You know, in Poland, they never had real intermarriage because nobody wanted to be like a Pole. Nobody wanted to assimilate. The Poles were like, you know, drunken and very harsh and very peasant-like. And so Jews never wanted to be like Poles. They just never... there was no desire to imitate the Goyim. That was why it was such a prosperous country. No Jews ever wanted to be like, you know, like a Pole. It just didn't appeal to them. Therefore, Hashem like put stumbling blocks to keep us away from assimilating or strange gods. Besir migartias gedera nesiva lo simsa, and they won't find their way there. First, Hashem will try to protect us that we won't find those strange gods. Verse 9. Urod fes moava. And we still might try to find these gods or these boyfriends, Velotastic, and we won't reach them. Or Bikashalo Simpson, we won't find them. For Omra, and then when we see that these strange gods, we won't find comfort in them, then we'll say, Elcho Vashuva Elisha Rishon. You know what? I'll go back to my first husband, Kitov Lo Li Me'ozata. You know what? If I can't get a new boyfriend, I guess I'll go back to my old. Unfortunately, a lot of Jews, at an early age, they somehow get the message that Judaism is, you know, it's like a little kid's kind of thing. And they finish at their bar mitzvah. That's when they were done. And then they go out to the world, to the real world and the college and other things. And then when they realize life is empty, sometimes they turn back to their first husband, so to speak, their first love, which is Hashem and Judaism. Verse 10. Now, a person, as they were doing so well with all these boyfriends and they thought they were getting these gifts, they didn't realize they came from God. Hashem says, I gave you the wheat and the oil and the money. But basically, Hashem really loves us so much, he wants us to be wealthy. And we turn around and we use Hashem gave us a lot of gold in Egypt to make up for the slavery, and we turned around and used it in the golden calf. And there's a history to that. In other words, Hashem often showers people with wealth, and they just don't do the right things with it. Verse 11, Kenosh Hashem says, you know what, I'll have to take it back. I've got to take back my wheat and my oil and my wool and my flax. We'll have nothing to cover our nakedness, so to speak. Verse 12, Ata galas nivlas l'neima avav. And those people that loved us, when they see that we really are married and we shouldn't be fooling around, will be revealed that we're two-faced, that we're being disloyal. And there'll be nobody to save us. Verse 13. V'hishpatati kol misosa. The one thing that we had to look forward to was even when the Jews rebelled, they kept Shabbos. It's recent times when Jews abandoned Hashem and they also abandoned Shabbos. But believe it or not, in the 10 tribes, even though they worshipped idols, they made Kiddush, they kept Shabbos, they had Shalom, they had, meaning that they wouldn't think of leaving Shabbos. Shabbos was the Jews, when they, in the right atmosphere, Shabbos is so enjoyable that nobody would, you sometimes meet some people and they say, Shabbos, you got to turn your cell phone off, you can't go shopping, you can't do your laundry. And you say, yes, I like that. But they people don't get it. So Hashem says, I'll even take away your Shabbos. You won't get a chance to keep your Shabbos. Chag Kadosh with Shabbos, you won't, your holidays. Vashimosi Gafta, and I'll take away your vines and your figs. Asher Amta Asahemile, Asher Nasimo, all the things your lovers gave you, all the things that you thought you would gain from worshipping the Gentiles and following these gods. Avachaltim Chayas Asada, they'll be eaten by the wild beast. Upekad Yele Asyameh Habalim. And Hashem said, you'll be punished for your loyalty to these strange gods, Asher Taktu Lahem, that you offer incense to them, V'tad Nizma V'chalsa, that you were so loyal to these idols, and you burned incense, and you brought offerings, and you dressed up to go to the idols, V'telech Achrim Ovev, Osi Shikha, and they're not going to help you. Verse 16. So that's the bad. L'chein hine nochi mefata. Hashem says, I'm going to, on your own, you might not turn back to him, but Hashem says, I'm going to seduce you, so to speak. I'm going to bring you back to your first love. But in order to come back, we got to go back to the wilderness. We got to go back to the receiving of the Torah, which is very much the theme of going into Shavuos. We believe that we don't just commemorate what happened thousands of years ago, but we try to relive it. We try to go back to the desert. We try to go back to the early times where we put our faith in Hashem and we asked Hashem, give us the Torah and tell us what you want, and where we say Naseh v'Nishma, we will do and we will hear, and we try to get it right. In other words, we know sometimes we've corrupted our direction over the year. And Shavuos is a time to reboot, to redo it again. So Hashem says over here, I'm going to take you back to the desert. I'm going to lead you to the desert, v'dibarti aliba, and I'll speak to your heart. I'll say nice things to you. I'll motivate you. V'nesati les kameh, I'll give you back your vineyards. And I'll give you back ves emek achor lepesach tikva. And instead of emptiness, I'll give you hope. Today there's a city in Israel called Petach Tikva. That was the beautiful name for a new city, Petach Tikva, the opening of hope. Where is Petach Tikva? Is it next to
near
B'nai Brak, Tel Aviv? Yeah. Haven't heard about it lately, who lives there or what. I assume it's just another nice city in Israel, Petach Tikva. All you hear about
is hospital there, Belinson.
Yeah. Oh, yeah? Mm. Okay.
Moshe Oberman is that.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
No, very good. So, Hashem says, instead of being a desolate valley, you'll have a valley, an opening of hope. And you'll get back your youth. Things will come back. And it'll be like when you left Egypt. The honeymoon will come back. Verse 18. Now, sometimes people view religion as like thou shalt not, and a god of vengeance. You're not going to call me Ishi, my husband, the man of the house, the master. Velotikri Old Bali. Hashem said, well, you'll call me my partner instead of my master. In other words, the word Ish means like a partner. The man, Ish and Isha are like a man and a woman. And instead of seeing Hashem as a God who's forcing us to do things, we're not going to use that word master anymore. We're going to be partners with Hashem. There's another thing too, because the idols were called Baal. They were called master. One of the things about our Judaism is that we believe we're partners with Hashem. We don't see ourselves, even though we're subjects, we believe that he makes us a partner in the world, really. He gives us free choice, and he gives us the ability to be godlike, and he implants part of himself in our hearts, And we don't see it. The Gentiles have this where they have the, you know, the master and the God. You know, to them, they only have one son of God. That's, you know, Yashki. We're all sons of God because we're partners with Hashem. We see it very different. We are partners with Hashem in creation, in the world. When Hashem created the world, he said, Nasa, we will make man. He gives us that ability to work together with him. So Hashem says, there'll come a time where you won't see this as a master, but you will see this as a partnership. And I don't want you talking about masters, because that's what the Gentiles did. They worshipped the Baal. And you won't mention them. So many people find it strange that rabbis don't like to say Yashka's name. They call him Yashka. Why don't they say the name? Because you have verses like this that say, don't say it by name. It's better not to say. So it's really not a sin. It's not a 613 or anything. But some people, we try, if we don't have to say the name, we don't say the name of the Gentile religions. But it's just a custom. It's not, you could say Christ if you really want to. But that's why often you speak, you say Yashko, or I tell people I live off Xmas. I don't have to say, I don't like to say the name of the, but it's not, there's actually a debate about whether Christianity is idol worship or not. But it says here, whatever those strange gods are, we don't want to mention them. But we won't mention their names anymore. That means that they won't be important to us. Verse 20, V'karti lebris, and we'll have a covenant by Yamahu, im chayas asara, together. It's interesting, we got our animal lovers here. They're included in this verse here. The covenant will be together with all of nature, with the wild ones and the birds, and it mentions the earth here. And we'll stop war. V'keshi v'cherv milchama eshbor mina oretz. And the war, it will be eliminated from the earth. V'ishkaftim levetach. And the world will be a secure place. We won't have to worry anymore. And then Hashem says, we'll be ready for our, we'll go back to our honeymoon. We'll go back to our very intimate relationship with Hashem, where he is our fiancé, v'rustikli la'olam. And that's a relationship that was always there, and it never changes, that we're engaged to Hashem forever, v'rustikli b'tzedek, and we're engaged to him in righteousness, in mishpat, in justice, b'chesed u'racham. And if we don't deserve it, he'll give us mercy and kindness. Rustically be'emuna, and we have faith in Hashem, and v'yadata es Hashem, and we will come to know Hashem.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.